Well, it's time to expose the liar. It's interesting when you think about hip hop and the reputation of the gangster rap culture, the trap rap culture. The rappers take all the heat. The rappers take the heat for the content. The rappers take the heat for the impact the music is having on the community. The rappers take the heat for the impact that the lyrics and the energy is having on the country and on the community. But we rarely talk about the executives. Today we're going to expose the truth. We're going to take a look at Lior Cohen. And this is going to be very interesting. We're going to look at the career of Lior Cohen. This is the man who brought Satanism into hip hop. This is the man who ushered in the era of violence and destruction in hip hop, on the East Coast, at least. There's certainly other principalities on the West Coast. We're going to look at Lior Cohen. Well, let's get right into it. I'm really, really excited about talking about this because I'm so tired of these guys hiding in the shadows. And people not really understanding how this thing works. So we're going to talk about it. Let me get the screen out of the way. And hello, everyone. So today, let's talk about Lior Cohen. All right. Let's talk about Lior Cohen. Lior Cohen is an executive for Def Jam. He was the CEO of Def Jam for a long time. He started out in the music industry working with Russell Simmons. Okay, so he was Russell Simmons, one of his managers, working with the early 80s rap groups and all that. Yeah, so he was started his career working with Russell Simmons, Def Jam in the early days, LL Cool J, Run DMC. He is a Jewish executive. Let's get into it. So obviously, Russell Simmons wanted distribution. He wanted licensing deals. He wanted to expand. He wanted to grow. And the devil gave him what he was looking for. On a recent show, he talked about at one point signing a contract deal, blood oath contract with Warren G, one of Snoop Dogg's proteges. Very interesting interview on the Drink Champs where he begins to explain that when he saw that Warren G was a real gangster, when he saw that he was really living in the hood, when he saw he was living a dangerous life, he told him, I'm going to prick your finger, basically for his blood, and ink a deal with him. That's kind of what prompted me to look into him a little bit more, because I said, well, I've always known he was that force. He was the force behind a lot of things in hip hop, but we'll get into it. One of the things he did was he got rid of groups like this, Public Enemy. Public Enemy was one of the early 80 groups that was fighting the establishment, exposing, you know, government corruption and this type of thing. You know, most people know them for exposing racism. But, you know, they were, I guess you can say, disruptors, you know, to the agenda. Once he went executive, once he went from being a road manager, he began to shift the sound of hip hop, and he began to introduce groups like Onyx, we started noticing the red blood. The blood becomes very significant. When I heard him talk about the blood oath contract with Warren G, I was like, wow, that's interesting. And I started noticing. I'm like, wow, you know, he's always kind of branded blood. Blood is going to be very significant throughout this. And we know that with Satanists, he is a Satanist, by the way, just so you know, he's a Satanist. You see him up there throwing it up. So you notice the red X dripping with blood. Interesting. Mad face, anger, rebellion. And of course, Throw Your Guns in the Air. One of the biggest songs in the 90s back in the days. One of the most violent eras in America was the Onyx era. And you have this man to blame for it. Okay. He was the one behind the scenes inking the deals. He was the one picking the artists, pushing the message. One of the things that the executives do is they set the industry standard. They're the ones that tell the artists, if you want a contract, you got to be crazy as hell and violent and corrupt and dirty and evil. And artists will bend and break until they can, you know, so they can have some success. So Onyx was one of the first groups, you know, that he came in and he took hip hop from, you know, Run DMC and, you know, that era of hip hop that was very balanced, seemed like it was had some social consciousness to it, to a very enraged, violent era. Okay. I just want to say this before I go on. I do believe Leo Cohen is a principality in human flesh. I'm going to be honest, because of the destruction that he has caused and his ability to survive many different eras. And also, I liken him to the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers, and he's definitely he's affiliated. Some of the artists that he began to sign to the label, such as Method Man, started noticing things like the One Eye. You know, Method Man, you know, everybody used to always wonder, why did he get the One Eye? Well, he signed a deal with, you know, Leo Cohen. You know, signing a deal with Leo Cohen, you're going to do things like cover yourself in blood, put the blood X in your brand name, put the One Eye. You're going to show your allegiance to Satan. So there goes Method Man in the days of Def Jam with Leo Cohen. He doesn't do it anymore now. He just has two eyeballs. But in the days of Def Jam and under Leo Cohen, he was introducing the world to Satanism and satanic imagery. Redman, rapper from New Jersey. There he is, covered in blood all on his hands after he inked his deal with Leo Cohen. Okay. DMX, there he is, covered in blood after he inked his deal with Leo Cohen. Okay. Leo Cohen is a very evil man, and he's managed to stay behind the scenes. And again, if you haven't seen the interview with him on the Drink Champs, where he says it very clearly that when he signed Warren G, he took his blood. There was a blood signature taken. So the blood is very significant with Leo Cohen. And again, I believe he's the guy who brought Satanism into hip hop as we know it. And of course, an era of violence in America like never before. And these executives have a lot to do with it. The music has a lot to do with it. And people don't like talk about it too much, but the music has a lot to do with it. He's also, if you ask me, there's some very interesting coincidences regarding certain murders that took place. And to solve some of them, you might have to look in the direction of Leo Cohen. After DMX, because DMX, I think, sold about 10 million records. DMX had an incredible career. He began to fight, obviously, once he began to realize what he was involved in. You know, a lot of these rappers come from the hood. They don't know anything about esoteric Satanism, the occult. They don't know anything about that stuff, man. These guys are rappers. They thugs from the street. They're trying to get a record deal so they can change their life and buy their mama a house. And, you know, that's what these guys think about. They don't know nothing about no damn sacrifice and the blood and the devil, and they don't know nothing about it. the men who have light in their heart will fight it, like Tupac and DMX. And so DMX had to be a very troubled life because he was at war with Lear Cohen. Lear Cohen is the hidden hand that he was fighting with. You know, a lot of people don't know, well, who's the one that's giving DMX so much hell? Well, there you go. It's Lear Cohen. Nobody talks about him. He might turn up somewhere. He talk about Lear Cohen too much. Okay. He was very instrumental in a lot of guys getting the big distribution deals. You know, so you wanted to make the big distribution deal. You wanted to get the big touring bucks. You had to get in, you had to sell your soul to the devil and sell your soul to Lear Cohen. When Jay-Z came into the game, you know, a lot of people don't know, well, how did Jay-Z become Jay-Z the rapper, then Jay-Z the record executive? Well, that was Lear Cohen. That was Lear Cohen. It was Lear Cohen that split up Rockefeller Records, Jay-Z and Dame Dash, but it was Lear Cohen that helped him get his record label deal as a record label, from an artist to a record label. And it's very interesting, very much like Redman and DMX with the blood, Onyx with the blood, Method Man with the one eye. You know, they all have to have some type of satanic symbolism within their brand. And then, of course, Jay-Z was given Rockefeller Records, you know, named after the most evil man in the world, one of them, John D. Rockefeller, right? And so he names, you know, with the help of Lear Cohen, of course, you know, he names his record label Rockefeller Records after, you know, the leader of the New World Order in America, John D. Rockefeller. Oh, boy. God, I tell you. So this was a very interesting era because, you know, Rockefeller was not just, it wasn't just Rockefeller Records. They began to introduce us to throwing up the pyramid, throwing up the rock. And let me just put my camera back on real quick. But you begin to see them do this all the time and, you know, put their, I don't even want to do it, but, you know, where they do this and then they put their eye right there so they can, you know, show their elite. This is how they get the deals. This is how they get the money. This is how they get the success. So it was Lear Cohen who helped to broker that deal, bringing him into those back offices, squeezing Jay-Z's butt, showing that, you know, you're ready to clap your cheeks for Satan. You ready to be rich, you know? And so that was Lear Cohen. Something interesting happened, you know, after the Jay-Z era, you know, and I want to bring up Jam Master Jay. Very, very interesting aspect to all this, because Jam Master Jay initially discovered 50 Cent. It was Jam Master Jay who discovered 50 Cent. Interesting. And I'm just going to put that there as a marker. He discovered 50 Cent. Okay. But the problem is, here we go. Here we go into exposing this devil. Lear Cohen was also behind Murder, Inc. Records. Very similar with the branding. It's always murder. It's always death. It's always blood. It's always that red. Okay. That blood red, that satanic blood red. And so it was Lear Cohen who brokered the deal for Murder, Inc. or Irvin Chris Gotti. You know, I actually met Chris Gotti, did an interview with Chris Gotti. I interviewed Chris Gotti several years ago. Went viral. Back then I didn't know all those things. You know, but Murder, Inc. was, they reigned for about a decade. You know, they had hit records, but behind the scenes, it was Lear Cohen, right? And they're pushing murder, okay? Murder is what they're pushing, okay? Death, sacrifices to Satan, that's what they're pushing, murder, all right? This is one of their, Murder, Inc.'s one of their marketing flyers. Murderers. You know, this is Lear Cohen behind the scenes. So he's the executive, you know, he's the chief executive officer. So there's his branding. You know, so much for creativity, right? Murderers, right? And of course, just like with Jay-Z being named after John D. Rockefeller, and this is where you get the guy Beanie Siegel and the Notorious Crime Syndicate, Murder, Inc. It's actually a real crime syndicate. You know, Murder, Inc. was not just a record label, but they were channeling that spirit of murder and violence and crime and spewing it out to America's youth and to America through the airwaves. Very interesting. Now it's going to get very interesting because, you know, he invested into Murder, Inc. He brokered their distribution deal. He helped them to basically be able to function like a full-blown independent record company, you know, having distribution, having tour, being able to tour, having access to the media, having access to, you know, various different networks. So he was responsible for Murder, Inc. He never really anticipated the war between Murder, Inc. and 50 Cent. That's where Jam Master Jay comes in, because nobody really understood why did Jam Master Jay get killed. They're still trying to figure it out. You know, he was murdered after discovering 50 Cent. Jam Master Jay was murdered. Another man who died suddenly was a man by the name of Chris Lighty. Chris Lighty is one of the executives that was mentored by Lear Cohen, which I call him Liar Cohen. I pronounce it as liar because he's a liar. But they call him Lior Cohen. Chris Lighty was one of the guys who managed 50 Cent. He was one of the guys who managed 50 Cent. He was one of the guys who helped 50 Cent become very, very successful behind the scenes. He was very much, you know, before he ran Violator management and before 50 Cent signed to Eminem and Dr. Dre, he was with Chris Lighty. Well, the two people that, you know, helped 50 Cent destroy Murder, Inc., Lear Cohen's premier flagship artist, The Murderers. The two most instrumental people to work with 50 Cent both turned up dead. And that would be Jam Master Jay and Chris Lighty. Interesting. Very interesting. So this was kind of like the end of an era for Lear Cohen. He suffered a great defeat because, you know, 50 was kind of like an anomaly. He kind of came out of nowhere. He had super duper success. And so Lear Cohen went to rebrand. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm putting this out there because I don't think enough light is on that. And I don't think people have figured that out yet. I think the industry people know. They know that he's a devil worshiper. They know that he sacrificed many people. They understand this. But it will probably never be spoken of. Only certain people in certain levels really understand, you know, what happened to Jam Master Jay, what happened to Chris Lighty. And they know it's the, they call him the J-E-W, but he's actually Lear Cohen. Now, after the 50 Cent era, a new era of violence broke out in Chicago that started getting tied into the rap game. Chief Keef. I don't know if you know about Chief Keef, but Chief Keef had a song called 300. And that song was basically the theme song for Chicago's drill rap. And drill basically means murder. Drill basically means murder. And Chief Keef was the one who was the first artist to break out from Chicago with the name 300. And introducing this new age, this new wave of violent rap music called drill music, meaning when they mean say drill, they mean basically killing somebody, right? So Lear Cohen started his own label, 300, right? So he starts his own label, the 300 label, inspired by Chief Keef. And there again, once again, you have the blood red, all right, for saying, and he has the blood red, and he started this label. Now, this is the new era of Satanism and violence. This is the younger generation. This is after the Onyx, Throw Your Guns in the Air, the Jay-Z, the DMX. This is the new era. And so he starts this 300 label. I want to show you something. This is so wicked, right? So these are the artists that were signed to him as of recently, since he started this new company, 300. YNW Melly, which stands for Young Nigga World. So crazy. And this guy's right now currently locked up, facing a death penalty for a double homicide. Also signed to Lear Cohen. His real name is Jamel Morris Demons. Go figure, right? Isn't that wicked? And this guy is so wicked, and he promotes nothing but demonism and murder. Signed to Lear Cohen. This is his album cover, YNW Melly. Murder on My Mind, signed to Lear Cohen. Okay, all right. So you just see this pattern with Lear Cohen. Nobody ever talks about Lear Cohen because he doesn't have tattoos and he doesn't have braids and he doesn't have a gold chain and he ain't black and he can't rap. But he's the devil behind the scenes. Okay. So expose this devil. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair, you know. And he's been around for a long time. These principalities, and when I say he's a principality, I really believe he is a principality in the same sense that many of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are literally the embodiment of very powerful evil spirits to walk in the face of the earth. I really believe it. I truly believe it, just because of the damage that he's caused. Another artist that he signed to his 300 label, Fetty Wap, another guy with the one eye. Go figure. Just like what's his name? Method Man. Same thing, you know. But except this is he really had one eye. But I believe that the one eye was something that helped them to push their Satanism, very much like Jay-Z throwing up the rock and always showing the one eye. And now they signed Fetty Wap, and he's also in jail right now for drugs. All right, so this is just the pattern of Lear Cohen. You know, this is Lear Cohen. This is the devil behind the scenes infecting the youth of America, okay? Now, one of the other guys that he signed to his record label, his new record label, 300, is Young Thug, his company, okay? Young Thug, who's currently in jail as well for a string of murders and a bunch of other stuff. And we know he's down with, you know, the devil for sure. And there's a lot of evidence of that. He ended up linking up with Cash Money and everything like that. But he is certainly, you know, he's tied in with that cult and whatever else. Anyway, but I'm just want to see the pattern of Lear Cohen. This is Lear Cohen. And when you see a lot of these artists, the reason why they rap this way, because that's the way they got to rap to get the deal. That's the way you got to rap if you want to be successful. You got to rap like, you got to talk violence, you got to talk. And so is Lear Cohen pumping them up, pushing them to pump that violence through the airwaves of the country and the world. Also heavily invested in the private prison system too. So they get it on the back end too. Okay. Just pointing that out. This is another one, very interesting. Just a coincidence, no, nothing crazy. This is another one of his artists, Gunna. There he goes with the one eye in front of the 300. Just a coincidence, a lot of guys with one eye. Just a total coincidence, no calculated there. Yeah, it's totally calculated. Okay, another artist, Gunna, signed to Lear Cohen. There he is with the one eye. And all for the money. Oh boy. Now let's get to the females. I want to point out something. Megan Thee Stallion, Lear Cohen, go figure. It's like, damn, all these evil people is all signed to Lear Cohen. What a coincidence. Of course, I know. Now, Megan Thee Stallion, very interesting, because from what I understand, a stallion is a male horse. So now we're pushing certain agendas in a time where there's all kind of blasphemies going on. We're pushing certain agendas. And I've actually seen a video. It's actually one of the grossest things that I've ever seen. And it was a clip of Megan Thee Stallion at a concert, you know, rapping and, you know, carrying on like a, you know, like a little, you know what they do, twerking and shaking their ass and all this and that on the stage and rapping. And she was doing her thing, or he, or whatever he is, or whatever, but she was on the stage and shaking her stuff, and pair of balls just jumped right out. I'm like, holy crap, you know, somebody sent it to me. Man, you gotta see this, man. Yo, this is crazy. And the whole audience went crazy. Am I saying she's a man? That's the word on the street, okay. All right. So anyway, another Lior Cohen situation. Her music, in the same way that NWA, this era of violent rap has affected America, the youth, with the violence and everything, Megan Thee Stallion has destroyed womanhood, has literally destroyed the minds of women. And she pushes deception, wickedness. I mean, every wicked thing a woman could ever do, that's all her music is about. I don't even want to talk. It's just, it's horrible. You know, because that mind that's in her is actually imparted into the minds of many, many women across this country and the people who listen to her music or his music or whatever. Yeah. So it's, and again, you know, why am I bringing this up? Why am I bringing this up? It's because the man who's throwing up the double Baphomet, double time, you know, you see him there with Rick Ross. You know, Rick Ross, he wants to get that big contract. They go DJ Khaled. You know, they want that next level of success. You know, nobody talks about Lior Cohen. Nobody puts it together. You know? And so I think it's only right that we pay some attention and give some light to the devil in the background. One of the other guys that's kind of associated with him and connected to him and his artist is a guy by the name of Juice WRLD. This guy, tragic story, because I heard he was a talented artist. Sold his soul, went viral selling his soul to the devil in a ritual on the internet live. You know, but you know who started this whole idea of making a deal with the devil and this type of thing for fame and success? Jay-Z. Jay-Z, you know, began this era of boldly proclaiming Satanism in hip-hop. And guys like Juice WRLD, various different guys who just wanted to be successful so bad that they were willing to do that. And he went out there and he made a video of himself performing a ritual, making an oath to the devil in exchange for fame. And he had quick fame. I mean, he really took off. He was one of the biggest artists in the game for about a year, and then he died suddenly. I wonder who was behind that. Go figure. You know, so now, shout out to everybody in the chat. I know it's not too many folks here. That's not important. But much love to you. I appreciate you for stopping by. Lior Cohen is the devil in hip hop. he has ushered in the era of Satanism. And I think it's time for him to get called out. Says, does Jay-Z and Beyonce have the same puppet master? Yeah, he was very instrumental in Jay-Z's career. That's how Jay-Z got his distribution deal. That's how he became an executive. At one point, Jay-Z, because he was getting his cheeks clapped by Satan and also by, what's his name, Lee or Cohen, he became the president of Def Jam. You know, that's all come from the fraternal, you know, the bullshit, you know, the bullshit. You know, he got involved with that, you know, and he became the president of Def Jam, you know, and he began to betray all of his, you know, fellow rappers that he came up with on the grind coming up in New York City. At one point in time, Jay-Z got called out by DMX because DMX is like, dude, you betrayed us all. You know, you got down with the devil. You know, Nas told him you sold your soul to the devil. You know, in the Ether song. Yep. Yep. So I want people to see the face of the man. The man who is responsible for bringing the dark art and pushing, you know, that murder and that satanic message in American hip hop. And he's not even black. Isn't it some shit? Don't you think that's interesting that nobody never talks about this guy? Don't you think it's interesting that nobody talks about the guy who signs the checks? The guy who tells you how to rap? Come on, man. We don't want to hear that positive shit talking about peace and love and knowledge and God and all that. We don't want to hear that shit. We need to hear that violence and death. We need to see the red blood dripping. He's a devil. He's a devil. And I really think he's a principality in human form. I really do, because he has no remorse. A human being has remorse. A real human being is going to have remorse. It's going to have some type of, you know, maybe you got caught up in the wave. Maybe you just got caught up in the moment. You didn't really realize, hey, this music needs to change. It's not positive. No, no. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. And he and this is true racism, too, by the way. This is that liberal racism. A lot of people don't really understand racism. They think racism is the KKK and all. No, this is racism right here. This is it. Go on and kill yourself, niggas. Write a song about it. This is some real racism right here. This is that Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. He look like Bill Clinton a little bit, don't he? Yes, he do. That's that spirit. That's that liberal. I ain't gonna get too political, but you know what it is. That's that true systemic racism, that liberal garbage. You know, and nobody talks about him. And he's remained hidden. He's done a good job of keeping himself hidden. And, you know, so a lot of people haven't connected him to a lot of the deaths that have not been solved. A lot of people have not connected him to the deaths that have not been solved. A lot of people have not figured out who would want to kill Chris Lighty. You know. Yeah. Boy. So, do your homework on Lee or Cohen. And then you know what's really interesting? Because he's such a devil, you know, he's robbed all of these artists, so many artists. Like he's the master of the 360 deal, the 360 contract deal, which is basically selling your soul, where basically they own your name, they own your brand, you know, they give you a gold chain and they let you ride in a limousine from here to across the street. Then they own your life. You know what I'm saying? One who does the, you know, the 360 deals with the label, screws you real good, give you that good screwing, they screw you good. I mean, you end up owing them money. You know, you go platinum and they be like, yeah, okay, pay us. You know, he's an evil son of a bitch. He is an evil son. He don't got no morals, but he gets the masters from these rappers. So these rappers come in, they're coming from the street. Here, sign a check. There's $50,000 cash on a check. They got a check. Boom. They go do their thing. Next thing you know, they hit you with the contract. You start going through the contract a year later after touring, after doing all this. You owe the label $10 million. What? You owe the label $10 million. You know, so you can go out there saying you better rap. You better do something. You owe us, man. Going out there sing, rap. Do something, you know, and I believe that's where it gets really, really satanic. But they own the masters of all of these various artists, and so when the industry shifted to digital, he made a deal with YouTube. This dude is such a devil, bro. I can't wait to Puff Daddy falls and Leor Cohen falls and Jimmy Iovine. I'm gonna do Jimmy Iovine next. He's the West Coast principality of hip hop. He's the West Coast principality of hip hop. And so is Diddy. But anyway. Yeah. So he did a deal with YouTube. So that YouTube will give him a portion of the advertising that the money that they make for all of the rap songs from all of these artists for all of these decades. Leor Cohen is a son of a bitch, man. Leor Cohen is a son of a bitch, man. I don't even know if you got this, if you even understand what that means. One, listen, you can be very wealthy off of one catalog of an artist's masters publishing. Because if you're playing it at a party, they're playing it on the radio, on a cruise ship somewhere, and wherever they're playing the record, every so many spins you get paid, and it adds up. Okay? You ride down the street, the record comes on, every so many times, every so many hundreds of thousands of times that play, that's money that the artists are supposed to get paid. But if a Leor Cohen owns all of your masters, you're not collecting any of those publishing checks. He's getting all the publishing checks, and one publishing catalog can make you very, very wealthy. If you have a successful artist, I'm talking about like somebody with a platinum record, or they went gold, or they sold 500,000 worldwide, 15, you know, maybe a million international, but they've done really well with the album. The publishing off those records is worth tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars. If somebody puts it in a movie, you know, you're talking millions and millions of dollars. He owns the publishing of practically every rapper that has ever rapped in the history of humanity. he's just an evil, greedy Rothschild. That's what he is. It's just so evil. It's so crazy. And nobody talks about him. Nobody talks about him because they're too busy talking about the rapper with the tattoo, who, you know, and they don't even realize these executives is evil as hell. Because these executives, Leor Cohen could change the whole standard of hip hop and make it okay for people to make positive music. He could change the that's why I say, and I'm going to close with this, but executives like Leor Cohen, they can change the industry standard like this and say we want more positive music, but they won't, because they're also invested into the private prison system, so they get paid on the back and they cold-hearted. This is true liberal racism. Kill yourself. I'll give you a check if you kill yourself. It's crazy, dude. But I'm going to close with this, and I've said it a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. I think it's time to ban gangster rap. Listen to me. And you know, I realize when you say that, it's almost like, but we have the freedom of speech. Listen, I think it's time to ban the gangster rap. I think it's time to, because if you look at the violence across the country, if you look at the murder rates, the music has everything to do with it. The music has everything to do with it. The music has everything to do with it. And we can't ignore that fact. If you look at where the violence is taking place, this is the music that they're listening to. And let me tell you one thing else too, because I know a lot of people don't understand this, and you have to understand this, right? When you give people a record deal, right, and you give them legitimate success for rapping about killing everybody and killing and all this killing and all this crime and all this stuff, you make the young generation think that it's okay. And some people in the older generation think it's okay because society is rewarding you. Does that make any sense? Feel free to make a comment in the chat. I'm gonna go check the chat in a minute, but I say it's time to ban the gangster rap. I swear to God. At least parental discretion or some type of age advisory or something. Like, it's gotta be, it can't just proliferate through it. Just it's not doing no good. Everywhere where the violence is taking place, this is the music they're listening to. The music is conditioning them, it's programming. It's teaching them, it's training them to be demons. And because they're getting so much success and they're making so much money, it's telling them that it's okay. I say ban it. Ban the gangster rap. Ban the trap rap. All the shit. Just ban that shit. Just ban it. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. Ban that shit. Just ban it. Make some quality music. You can distribute it worldwide. I'm not saying you can't have some rough, aggressive stuff, but once you just got to be some type of a measurement where we can say, if you get a little too psycho, we're not putting it out. You can't play it. No, because this is affecting people. If it wasn't affecting people, it'd be different, but it's affecting people. Does that make any, do you agree with me? If you agree with me, put it in the chat. Just let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Barbara, she says, I agree. Thank you. I'm not alone. I have one person who agrees. Oh, God. I'll put that on. She said, I agree. Yeah, my computer's moving a little slow, my everything. But I'm trying to get it up on there. Can you see that? So Barbara Crane, Barbara King. Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, and I know about that frequency, Michelle. That's something else they did too. They changed the frequency. I forgot what year it was, but they did. They changed it, and that's that demonic frequency, that low frequency. Yeah, anger, depression, rage. You're destroying the country with this shit. You know, they're destroying the damn country. You know, murder kill frequency. Thank you for that. That's interesting. That's the 808 frequency. Yep, that's the hip hop frequency. Yep. Can y'all see that on the screen? Michelle's comment there. Thanks, Michelle. And let me see here. Jody says, make total sense, Prime. Be careful. Little ears, what you hear. Yeah, well, it's very difficult. You know, you can't throw a quarter in the water and it not get wet. You know, that's just the truth. You know, it's so. it's hard for it to not affect you because it's everywhere. It's hard for it to not affect you because it's everywhere. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So that's my, you know, and I'm just going to leave it at that for today. And I'm gonna, let me just, it's moving slow, my internet, man. I say ban it. Wonder Woman 28, she says, bring back 432 Hertz. We can do a lot of things if we was in the position to do it. It's time for us to go to the top so we can change things. These guys still run the game, man. They still run everything. And it ain't gonna change. Cause they ain't gonna never stop. They ain't gonna never stop this shit. If you look at how many eras of violent music and how bad it got from the time he left Russell Simmons, he took over Def Jam. Russell Simmons was the CEO of Def Jam. He took Russell Simmons by the back of his pants, shoved his ass somewhere, and took over Def Jam, that legendary hip-hop label, because Def Jam was an independent label. But once Lior, the Jewish CEO, took over, it was all about guns and murder and violence. Once Lior Cohen took over. And he had errors, 5, 6, 7, 8 year runs, all violence. All violence. And then once Def Jam became kind of like considered old school, because after a while hip hop started to evolve, Def Jam became like the home of like the legends, and you know a lot of people started associating Def Jam with like pioneer hip hop. You know, it really wasn't the new trend. He just created a whole new label. He just created a whole new brand. And he hid behind that brand and called it 300. After the drill music, the murder music, the 300, he named it after 300, the murder music from Chicago. And all of those artists that's on that label, all they talk about is murder and the devil and this. And they feed that to the youth, and they feed that to America. So where's the Christians? They're giving God all the praise. Praise God. Yeah. Great. Great. Great, 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 great. Yes, he needs to sit his ass down. Very much so. In the electric chair. No, I'm just, he got to go, man. This guy, he's just a devil. Yeah. So, yeah. That's what I say. I say ban it. I say ban the gangster rap. That's it. If you're talking crazy, if I listen to your record and you kill a bunch of people on the song, brother, we not putting this out, brother. What do you mean? I got freedom of speech, brother. That's not what freedom of speech is for. That's not what freedom of speech is for. You know? And I think we tried it. We tried feminism. It don't work. It's destroying everything. It's destroying everything. Yep. So there you go, guys. Lior Cohen, the man behind the Satanism in hip hop, the man behind all the violence in America. Nobody calls his name. Lior Cohen. That's the man. That's the man that created Jay-Z, that we know, the executive Jay-Z, brought him on into the Illuminati. that's the man that was coming after DMX, because DMX said, nobody clapping these cheeks. He said, I'm rough and I'm tough, but I don't worship the devil, brother. You know, I'm from the hood, but I don't worship the devil, brother. I ain't worshiping no devil, dog. Yeah, y'all gonna have to, we gonna have to fight. DMX started to fight for his life. Leo Cohen was coming after him, you know. You listen to these stories, you know, and I remember, you know, being a young guy growing up and, you know, the idea of getting a record deal and making it out of the ghetto and, you know, you ain't thinking about no damn devil. That shit is not crossing your mind. Trust me when I tell you, that is the last thing you're thinking about, okay? You're thinking about being successful, taking care of your family, you know, living your dream, you know, and when they go get these guys from the hood, you know, those stories of guys getting these record deals. And I know those stories, man. I've been there. I said no. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I done had some of them contracts in my hand. I'm like, nah, I can't do that, dog. I gotta talk about God, man. I gotta talk about Jesus Christ, homie. I mean, what am I gonna do? I'm not signing no record contract and I can't talk about Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, a lot of these dudes, man, they not really like connected to God like that. So they don't see it. They just see it like, oh, what in the contract? They see that, you know, whatever, man, with the check. You know what I'm saying? With the check, baby, let's go. You know? And then once they have that success and they realize, yo, they got the youth hypnotized. Everybody listening to them. The kids want to dress like them now. The kids is using their words. You know, they're using their wordplay, they're using their lingo and stuff like that. They have influence. All right, somebody invite him to a party. We about to clap his cheeks down and we about to oil you and grease you down and we're gonna oh God, this is sick. These guys are sick, bro. Anyway. It's time to go to the top. Take over. It's the only way. We have to take these guys and toss them off a cliff and run it the right way. How we got to do it? It's what we got to do. It's the only way, man. It's the only way. If you don't understand, I don't know why it's so hard to understand that. But unless you just like it the way it is, I don't know. I mean, do you like it the way it is? Do you like it the way it is, or do you think we should change it? What do you think? I don't know. So I say ban it. That's where I'm at. I want to kind of limit it to this because it's so much stuff with him. But if you get a chance, you want to check out that interview on The Breakfast Club. It's a clip where he's talking about Warren G. He exposed Warren G, man. He exposed Warren G in that interview. You know, the world gonna know Warren G sold his soul to the devil. See, a lot of these dudes got secrets, man. See, a lot of these dudes got secrets that's so deep to bury, too deep to bury. You know what I'm saying? Like, at one point in time in your life, man, you made a deal with the devil, homie. You signed that contract. That man told everybody at the Breakfast Club that he pricked your finger and took your blood and put your blood on that contract. Because you want to be successful. Man. So I'm just going to run through this one more time. And I'm going to close this live. There you go. You ever want to know what does a principality look like in human form? There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Blood. This is Lear Cohen. This is what he brought to hip hop. All these guys made the deal with Lear Cohen. There you go. There you go. You know, I bet DMX didn't even know that they put the devil horns on him in this picture here. And you see the white devil horns on, you know, underneath the M. Kind of looks like the devil horns were on him. They probably just told him, hey, man, look, X, man, go ahead and stand right there. We're going to take a picture for your album cover. Oh, man, I think it'd look hard, man, if you was like, rough and rugged and raw, man, covered in blood. You the rawest rapper. They ain't telling you, man, that you getting involved in some ritual. You know what I'm saying? You know, DMX talked about meeting the devil. You know who he was talking about? He was talking about Lear Cohen. Go back and look at the interview where he talks about the devil came to him. He was talking about Lear Cohen. Trust me. Trust me, I'm telling you. He was talking about Lear Cohen. When he said the devil came to him on several occasions and he said no and this and that. Certain ones like Nori from the Drink Champs. He said, man, I got real success. He had a real hot album 1 year. And I think he was like, I don't know if he was certified gold or he went platinum, but he was hot. And he said, man, they took me to that door and I could have went in there and I could have been really successful. He said, but I said no. He said, but they came to me. He talking about Lear Cohen. Trust me. Trust me. Lear Cohen is the one who made all the big guys successful. They had to talk to the devil first. They had to talk to the devil first. Jay-Z, he just wallows in it. I beheld Satan like a bolt of lightning falling from heaven. The stars are going to fall. You know? So, I don't know, guys. You let me know what you think. I'm going to go to the chat. The only reason it's just taking so long for some reason. All right. Yeah. I used to like Warren G. Yeah. On the mission list of fine, Mr. Warren G. Yeah. Yeah. We've heard it all. Yeah. Dirty Bastard. Yep. Old Dirty Bastard. All them dudes, man, they want, you know, but they didn't understand what they was getting involved in. You know, they prey on poor black dudes from the hood that's really, really talented. And they kind of mask it with, this is just rough and rugged. Because I remember back in the day, like, cats used to have raps. And they was, you know, they would use the kind of the term of the devil, but they didn't mean the devil, like the real devil. They would use it as a term to mean like rough and rugged. You know what I'm saying? So people would use terms anything that would sound rough or tough or aggressive or powerful, that's what hip hop was all about. You know, so as you're spitting your rhymes, you know, you're trying to be as crazy as you can be so you can be a good rapper. You know what I'm saying? You got to be crazy as you can possibly be so you can be a real good rapper. And, you know, and so these record label execs, these satanic record label execs, they play on it. So when they come and they bring the marketing people to you and they tell you, listen, man, we got to, your image is rugged, man. We got to get you more rugged. Like, what if we, imagine if we like put you with the devil. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like the devil of rap. You like a rap devil. You know what I'm saying? And, it, you know, so the guys don't, they may not understand, like, no, this dude is like really like a devil worshiper. Like, it's not like a rap, like devil, you're the devil of rap. It ain't like that. Like, he's like a real devil worshiper. Like, he's really evil. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah, he don't love God like you love God. Like, you go to church, you say, God, I love you, and thank you, Jesus. He ain't like that. He hates God. He is a devil worshiper. So these guys in the hood, they don't understand until they realize, like, hold up. And if you look at Dame Dash, Dame Dash tells the story of how Leor Cohen destroyed, you know, how Jay-Z basically betrayed him and did the deal behind his back with Leor Cohen, the devil. And then after that, it was Jay-Z was all about, you know, he got real satanic. Go back and look at his videos after he ditched Dame Dash. Just like you see Def Jam under Rush Entertainment, under Russell Simmons' label. And when Leor Cohen came in, now all of a sudden everybody got one eye. Now, all of a sudden, everybody covered in blood. Nobody wasn't covered in blood back in Run DMC days and all that. That wasn't until Leor Cohen took over. He put the evil and the satanism into the music. Look at Jay-Z before Leor Cohen and look at him after Leor Cohen. You start seeing all kind of stuff. There's one video, and I'm going to close it because it's already over an hour. But there's one video that he did where he did it with Kanye West and Rihanna, Run This City. That's a wicked video. That's a wicked video. That's a wicked video. Yeah, that's a wicked video. And when you look at the video, it's all blasphemy, man. It's all blasphemy. Jay-Z got real wicked once he gave his soul to what you call it, Leor Cohen. What's up, Santay? Good to see you. Look up the you want to look up it's called The Drink Champs, Leor Cohen. The Drink Champs, Leor Cohen. L-Y-H-O-R. I call him Liar. They pronounce it Leor, but let's just be real. It's Liar. Liar Cohen. L-Y-H-O-R. And you got to watch it. It's a small little clip. He's talking about, man, I was looking to sign Warren G. I went to his house. I seen that he was really in the streets. I could see that he was from the ghetto, and he, you know, it's like, why you always, everybody you got to sign got to be from the ghetto? Why everybody you sign got to be from the street? Why everybody you sign got to be a criminal, a thug, a killer? Why is that the message that you feel that America's youth need to hear, and that America needs to hear, and the fans need to hear? Because you're a devil worshiper. That's why. God, good to see you too, Santam. Love you. Sending you a big old hug. It's been a long time. Yeah. But, so, share this with somebody that needs to know. this whole new era of hip hop. These young artists is signing up. They don't know what they're getting involved in. You know, they don't know what they're getting involved in. And there's no alternative because the Christian labels ain't shit. They don't got nothing. And the Patriot labels too. The Patriots ain't got nothing. The Christians ain't got nothing. And these the Patriots ain't got nothing. And the Inspirationals ain't got nothing. And they own everything. The evil demons. And all we can do is sit back and just, it's disgusting. So, what are you gonna do? Boy. Anyway. You guys have yourself a wonderful night. Have yourself a rest in peace, Chris Lighty, man. You know, Chris Lighty didn't understand what he was dealing with. You know, and nobody never mentions Leo Cohen's name when they talk about Chris Lighty. Nobody. They never mention his name. Nobody mentions Leo Cohen's name when they talk about Jam Master Jay. Nobody. Yeah. Maybe after they get Diddy, they'll go and get Leo Cohen. Who knows? Whatever. Anywho, well, this thing is moving so slow. Tomorrow I'm going to be doing a chat on Eve. You gotta see this. It's gonna be an interesting chat. We're doing a chat on Eve. You know, Eve, like evil. Yeah. We're gonna talk about that. I'm talking about Eve. Just one particular aspect, you know. I know we deal with a lot of things when we speak on Eve, and there's a lot of things we tend to focus on, the deception and seduction and temptation and all these different attributes that had to do with the fall of humanity. Still working to this day. Go figure. But we'll be focusing on a different aspect of Eve's nature. It's probably one of the most prominent aspects of her spirit of Eve. We'll talk about it. It's going to be interesting. So, I'm going to share that with you. And anyway, you guys have yourself a good night. And I'll see you guys on the next one. It's time to ban hip hop. Let me see some. Hold on, before I end this live, hold on. We'll see this comment. Yeah. Yeah. Good to see all you guys here. Thank you guys for joining me. I appreciate it.